Hello, I am Paige Albiniak, editorial director at Promax, and this is the Daily Brief podcast. So we've been at this working from home thing for a few weeks now, and it seems like teams are getting the hang of it. But working from home on your own is one thing. Working together as a connected and coordinated team is another. In this episode, drawn from Promax's second virtual session in our ongoing series, Vox Creative Advertising Scott Edwards offers 8 tips and then some on how to keep your teams connected, productive, and inspired while they work remotely.
The power of Promax is keeping our community connected. To that end, last week we launched Promax Connect, bi-weekly webinars, virtual sessions, and community forums to help us all learn from each other and strengthen our community. Today's session is key. How do you stay productive, nurture collaboration, and harness creativity while remote from your team? Scott Edwards, EVP of Fox Creative Advertising at Fox Entertainment, has some answers for us. Welcome, Scott.
I'm starting my video and I'm on mute. Hi.
Wow, it looks so cozy back there.
You know, I'm staying on the patio, so Sam has run of the house, and I'm not interrupting the normal workflow of the household.
That's a real background. It's not virtual.
That is real. I could throw a log on the fire, but then I would reveal if I'm wearing pants or not, so I don't want to do that yet.
Oh, so funny. So give us the lowdown of what's going on with you, and what are those tips and techniques?
Well, we're, Fox has gone mostly remote, and in doing so, we've been through a few growing pains, if you will. Those were mostly logistic and getting those technical solutions set up so that people could work remotely and making sure everybody had the necessary hardware and software in their home situations. And we have a few key personnel members that have to go into the office and be on site based on what we're doing, whether it's the finishing or the actual broadcast of the signal is on site, for example. So Fox has taken a lot of great steps to make sure that's super safe and secure. But the bigger thing that we've noticed is work productivity impacted by volume of Zoom meetings that comes with making up for the fact that you don't have these hallway conversations. You don't have these quick exchanges where information is readily available. So we're trying to make sure that we allow people time to do their work, but also make sure that they are staying connected as much as possible. That's our biggest challenge with the Zoom calls and the workflow and the productivity is making sure people stay connected, know they're valued, and really also keep delivering the things we need to deliver on a regular basis, because we're still in business and have a full broadcast late. And just like every other broadcaster and streamer, we're still cranking it out.
That's right. Yeah. So you, through this process, you've got a list of, I think, is it 5 things that are perfect and essential to stay connected with your team?
Yep. And the first one, which I kind of covered, was the logistical layouts and the technical solutions, which those have to be worked out first, so you can't get to the other things. So that's having a great IT team in place and that they move fast. We had a couple gentlemen at the office that delivered 139 laptops in 4 days, set up and ready to go for people to suddenly start working remotely. Even though we had been planning on it, it was a big shift to telecommuting in a quick, short order based on the governor and the state and those things. Right. And then the second thing, which I think is really important in building the team, regardless if you're on-site or off-site, is not forgetting that the team is made up of individuals. So showing that compassion, care, and concern for each of those individuals as you're moving through this big collective shift in managing your own schedule, managing your own perspective, your own, you know, productivity interruptions that occur in your home workspace. And I think a thing to remember for me especially is everyone's situation is different, right? A lot of them are home alone, working alone. A lot of them don't have the same resources as other people. So connecting with them on a personal level, we have a senior executive at Fox that's instituted a 2 calls a week program where they're just trying to make sure that they make a couple phone calls a week to people they don't otherwise talk to on a regular basis. It could be anybody across the company. And okay. I thought that was really great as a way to get those short human connections out there and make sure people realize their value on that individual basis, which is so important. And then if you're like me and you're engaging in a lot of Zoom calls, I've been trying to take screenshots of all of them because they're amazing. I think there are so many things that I would throw out there for best video practices for those people that are doing Zoom calls. And that is, be mindful of framing. I've talked to a lot of people who they're having their conversation like this and it just,
right.
And it's a lot, or people where the background's really bright and they're pitch black. They're like in the witness protection program. And, right. And I think, and I'm texting them, I'm chatting privately saying, hey, you should spin away from the window so he can see you. Right.
Right.
And I don't usually wear a tie to the office. This is something I've implemented specifically for the work from home process because I wanted to remind the team that not to roll out of bed in sweatshirts and
right,
hoodies
right.
and onesies and or whatever right. they're wearing. And to remember that if you wouldn't wear it to the office, you probably don't want to wear it on a Zoom call.
Right.
And then another thing, the third thing was best video practices, like muting your audio and video when necessary, picking an appropriate environment. This is the best I could offer. And being mindful of screen sharing, whether or not you enable that. And actually trying different microphones. I don't know if you guys can.
Oh, you're there.
Okay. Yeah, there I hit my mute button when I was using it. The fourth thing that we found was important is to know that there's a work lag, a productivity lag that comes with working remotely because of delays in communication or file transfers, mm-hmm. Cut approvals, not having meetings, but having them to be approved via link. So I think communicating those challenges across the board to the people that are requesting things from a team, and in my case, a creative team, and then communicating to that team very clear performance goals and expectations. And I think one of those that's reasonable to ask, which our HR department has asked of everybody in Fox Entertainment, is you're working from home. It's not you're working half day or part day from home. You're working a full day from home. So right. I recommend a little bit of structure, getting up at a routine time, going through your regular routine, being present to your meetings. Like Darren, head of marketing, has said, from noon to one, we're not going to have any Zoom calls scheduled in case people want to make sure to be able to take that lunch hour. Just little things like that.
Yeah.
And then my last piece of advice, if it's of helpful, of any help to anybody, goes back to the beginning, which is always be available to the team all the time. And they need to know that they have a partner in problem solving or someone that's supporting and encouraging and understands their particular dilemmas and journey, and actually finding out what those challenges are for each individual, right? If they don't feel like they're being included in particular communications or workflows, I think that's hugely important. And just over communicating is general rule we're kind of practicing. And if it's too much, it's too much, but at least you're trying not to leave anybody out, which I think is the most important thing.
And to that point, there are two things that I heard, and I should say to everyone who's watching right now, if you do have questions, please submit them. There's a Q&A in there as well, whether it's in the chat or it's in another form, and we can ask those in a second. I do have a couple that have come in already. The two things that I heard that were really interesting, one is that in your staff meeting, when we talked about this the other day, in your staff meeting with your team, it in person is very different than in a Zoom. Although you see everyone sees each other, you miss the human dynamic. So being able to really make a point of connecting with each person on the call the same way you would do in a physical space is important. How do you do that? How have you been successful in doing that?
Well, one of the things we've done is we've had individual Zoom calls, like just one-on-one Zoom calls, which can, you know, take up a lot of the time of the day, but it's so meaningful to sit down and say, hey, how you doing? Is there something I can help you with? Or is there a piece of work that we're having trouble getting through the pipeline or approvals? Or is this creative directive unclear? Because they change quite a bit. So we're doing a couple of things. We're encouraging those smaller calls where three or four people can get together, depending on how big the teams are. I have five team leads basically that run creative advertising underneath me that they each have a weekly call with their teams. I try to pop in when I can and contact and connect with them, but they're making sure to do that regardless. And then we've scheduled a thing on Fridays from 4 to 5 called Fox Happy Hour. Mm-hmm. And the host is rotating. I had this past Friday, Emily King's got this next Friday or this coming Friday, and then it's going to rotate and the host can decide what they do. If they want to share a video, if they want to have a trivia game, that kind of non-work related get together, because it's your work environment. This is your work family and you socialize with them by default. Right. So keeping that alive is also important.
And it was interesting, you don't do it at 5:30. Like, you're doing it at 4. You're being considerate of their time with their families.
You know? Right. We're trying to be very mindful that it doesn't eat into their night. Like, hey, we're going to do it at 6:30. No, at 6:30, you're having Zoom calls with your friends or whatever.
Yeah, right? Totally. No, absolutely. All right. We have a call in from Richard Frank. Hey, Richard, how are you? I hope you're safe with your family. How have you and your team found working from home impacts working with clients? Who could be at home or staggered in their offices?
That's a great question. The staggered something I'm responding to, because we've actually had to stagger some of the work shifts at the office. And how's that impacted how we work with our clients? As Fox, if you look at our show producers and our development team executives as our clients, so to speak, one of the things we've found that first 2 weeks, the past 2 weeks prior to this week, where everyone got into this and was trying to figure it out, which everybody made that same, you know, went through that same process. We were forgetting to send cuts to development executives so they could see how we were developing current creative for their shows.
Right.
And that was not a shortcoming. We are very good about sharing these cuts with them. And then if they're digging, we send them over to the show producers, or they do. So we've tried to, hey, wait, let's not forget, you know, it's one of my, the three questions. Thank you, Joe Worley, for these three questions when I first got to Fox. I still remember them dearly. And they are, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? And who needs to know about it? And it's that third one that's a big one. You know, a lot of people can identify what they're doing and why they're doing it. But is there someone that I need to tell about this or share this with? So that goes back to over communicating. And we just got to let the show producers and let the development team know these are the materials so they can get signed off on. And they're not surprised when they see something on the air.
Perfect. Okay. I have one more. I have actually a ton, and I'm looking at the list of people coming in. This is from BB. She said, as an employee, how to deal with the constant fear of being laid off, or how do you deal with the lack of motivation? And then in your opinion, what would it be like when we go back to the office? Hopefully soon.
Hopefully soon. That last part's that could be a long answer, a long discussion. That could be the whole call. What were the first two parts? Fear of being laid off.
Fear of being laid off and
motivation.
Then tied in with lack of motivation, right?
Yeah. I think we've talked about this in the office a couple of times when Disney was going to buy certain aspects of Fox. People were speculating, well, how's that going to impact me? What's that going to mean for the future? And we had a discussion in a larger meeting where I made the suggestion that there are things in the narrative that we cannot control. Mm-hmm. How long will COVID-19 be around, that we have to deal with it in this remote fashion? How will it impact us in the future? How will it impact our life when we finally do get back to work? Things that will unfold organically as we move through the process. But then we identified things we can control or we have an influence over, which are my contribution to the process, my task or creative assignments, or my role professionally hasn't changed. It's just changed where I do it and the way I communicate what I'm doing, but I'm still supposed to be doing the thing that I'm hired to do. And I think people in network and streaming are lucky to still be very much in business. And I just suggest focusing your energy on that which you can influence and control, which is your contribution, how present you are, how much you give it your all. Maybe it is one of those things where you're trying a little bit harder than you usually would in the office, because you need to make up for the fact that you don't have that drive in where your mind changes to work mode, and that drive home where you decompress, right? Where you get to process things in and out. You don't have that little window, because walking from your bedroom to your living room or to your home office or to your patio, in this case, isn't that same thought process, right? Yeah. So maybe implementing some sort of, hey man, I'm at work. I'm going to give this everything that I can. I'm going to try to come up with more creative ways to approach what I do to be effective, right? And contribute and not worry about the future, because we can't control that. It could happen to anybody, right? In Fox, anywhere, these things could go wrong, right?
This is true. And this goes into the next question from Emily Kurtz, who says, you know, what are your tips for elevating creativity in these crazy times? Like, stay motivated, but then also, like all of us, majority of us are in a creative environment that we can vibe off of other people, right? So it's not just you there by yourself. So staying motivated and those types of tips, like you motivating your teams, it's got to be extraordinary.
Yeah, it's tricky. And I think that involves, again, connecting with those individuals that you would usually have a chance to connect with just in passing, or reaching out to a composer. I had a call with a composer over the weekend and last week who I talked to about a song that we might use for something that we're working on right now. And I actually found having these Zoom calls with him, he's in his studio, he's at his microphone, and we're having these calls talking about what that track might need, what the chorus might need. I actually was like, wow, why don't we do these? Just because I'm in the office and I'm busy dealing with people at the office, I forget to connect with this outside creative partner like this. This Zoom call was really beneficial, and we connected as human beings and as creative partners, so to speak. And to me, that's a key ingredient, is fabricating or facilitating those interactions that are organic to the on-site experience. You have to put a little more effort into those when it's an off-site remote, you know, process.
Absolutely. I mean, that goes into Irene's question, which was, is there anything I can do to keep the spirit for the creative team up, specifically those ones who still have to go into the office, right?
Yeah.
That's a challenge.
That's a big one. And Fox has done a number of things to show those individuals that are on-site essential some extra love, if you will, whether it's providing them with meals for the whole week or giving them some financial incentive or whatever it might be, to let them know, hey, we know you are leaving your house and taking a little bit more of a risk or more of a risk than people that aren't leaving their home, fair to say. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate that. And we're taking great steps to make it a safe, healthy, clean, sanitized environment. At the same time, I want to acknowledge the sacrifice you're making.
Right.
So, and the part about motivating the team, those same things you might do in an everyday week where you share things you've seen that are really motivational or really cool, or here's a really great spot, or here's a great PSA, or here's a really moving track, or here's awesome copy that spoke to me in this particular time. You know, earlier someone sent me the riff on My Sharona saying My Corona. Someone did a gag music video. Yeah. And one of our IT guys wrote back, thank you for this. I need humor to get me through this.
Humor is key, especially right now.
Right.
Settle into this new reality, right?
Right.
Okay, from David Herbrook, what do you do to keep people whose responsibilities are more linked to being in a physical office engaged, ops, office managers, admin assistants, et cetera? Because basically, we just rolled right into that question.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think for that, it might be a conversation, you know, enlisting them in their help in coming up with ways they can contribute that might be outside if this is their normal scope of responsibility. If you say, hey, there's something over here that's kind of related to that or not related to that, mm-hmm. let's facilitate you being able to contribute in this particular area or this area. I actually think there are so many great opportunities for individuals on one team or in one group or with one perceived set of responsibilities to grow and expand and flex and try other things, whether it's operations or creative or logistical. Right. I think have them lead a meeting, right? Put together a Zoom call and say, this Zoom call, which is about XYZ topic, whatever creative challenge or whatever logistical thing, is going to be run by this person who you're used to doing this other thing, but they're running this meeting. We're doing what they say. We're going to work with them. We're going to be great team members, great servant leaders to them, and then let them take the reins. You know, what we've done on site where someone in the lead position of a meeting leaves their chair and moves to another part of the room, and whoever wants can sit in that chair and run that meeting for that particular hour and a half. It's a really great experience because then we start to listen to each other as equals, which is what we really are, in order to make sure everyone knows their value. Because a great idea, to quote Charlie Collier, no one corners a market on creativity, and a great idea can come from anywhere, right?
And you've always been that way, though, with your entire team. You call it being a servant leader, where you're able to actually be there as part of the team and inspire, motivate, and elevate each of those team members, which I think is truly extraordinary. Okay, from Matt Hodges, the creative process is a very collaborative one. How has the current situation slowed down the creative process, or has it become more efficient?
Ooh, that's a good one. It slowed it down. It slowed it down before it became more efficient. That is for sure. Because it took longer to get people's eyes on cuts or on creative concepts. We've got a couple things happening right now. We usually have two meetings a week where we go through creative. And video doesn't play well in a Zoom call. I'm sure many of you have found out fine-tuning a cut doesn't happen well via Zoom. Hey, this is to stop doing that. It happens well with a link sent in advance. And so, which is great because then you can spend time with the cut, make your notes, send them back. So this hour-long creative meeting on Mondays and Thursdays is now a half hour because the key stakeholders in the meeting have all received links. They've reviewed the materials. They've sent back notes or approvals or whatever. And now the meeting is really more of an open form of communication. Hey, this spot got approved. This one over that one, as long as BS&P signs off on it. And it really becomes more of an exchange of valuable information as far reaching as possible, like 100 people on a couple of these calls. And so the efficiency is in the review is individual reviews. And the efficiency in meetings is shorter meetings because you don't have to watch things together. But to the point about the creative process being collaborative, I actually love, we have a business that we're partnering with, Sidecar, as you know, Gil Berman and Hend and everybody. And they were sharing a story the other day, how a couple of, four or five of them were on Zoom working, but they weren't on a scheduled Zoom call where they were doing this. They were just on Zoom and they were doing their thing. They were working or they were taking calls or they were texting or writing notes or reading scripts or what have you. And then when they had a question, they turned and they said, hey, so-and-so, can I get your attention for a second? What do you think about this? Like, you cool with that? Like, oh, that's a great way to say that. I didn't think about that, blah, 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 blah. Which those stretches of time, deep work, deep space, whatever fancy marketing term it is, that's where you really get to the gold creatively. So I think opening up the pipeline, of course, Zoom, the Zoom company loves this idea of tying up a pipeline for hours, but but you still could, you can have that collaborative exchange more organically if you can just turn and talk to a coworker and turn back, you know?
It's like a New York City cab driver. You get in the cab and you don't know if he's talking to you or not, and you realize that he's been on, you know, on a call for the entire trip in from JFK. But you, when we were talking about this last week, you said something that you do that I basically employed immediately with the Promax team, which was just have a Zoom open office hours.
Oh yeah, we had that this morning for an hour, 9 to 10. We have another one on Friday, I think. It's Tuesday and Thursday or Tuesday and Friday. And it's, they're guaranteed three of us, head of marketing, head of strategy, and head of creative will be on this call. And this is a great development that happened with office hours, which we didn't see coming, which was the last office hours last week, someone said, raised their hand and said, hey, if I didn't happen to pop by this office hours, I wouldn't have heard that. So if this is going to have an exchange of valuable information, how do we make sure it gets to people that need to know about it? So now during office hours, there's someone in there taking minutes of everything and making sure it's disseminated, which is important, right?
And we do a half hour a day every day where it just keeps it open and whoever wants to pop in can pop in and allows, I think it allows that ease of the conversation, that casual, like you're going to grab a cup of coffee and you start talking about something and that's where the ideas come out or something.
It's your water cooler or your coffee machine conversation, right? It's your casual kitchen exchange.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so from Mahesh, if I'm saying that wrong, right, if I'm not, I'm sorry. Hi there, would you recommend any technical solutions, tools for remote video editing and collaborating teams located at different places?
Oh gosh, that's a long answer. It involves a document that's very technical and we went through it yesterday with our tech team. It was
other than putting your phone up like this, right?
Yes, I had to get like this to see the details of it. But it sidebar me on that, have that person sidebar me and I will connect them with someone who in 5 minutes will give far better an answer than I would in 5 hours.
Right. Got it. I think the thing is, in reality, is getting back into what you had said before, you know, and now that we're, you know, to the concept of the writer's room, if you will, the open Zoom.
Yep.
To me, it's like, what happens when we go back? What stays and what leaves? What is a better solution versus what's a temporary solution?
There might be some meetings that we used to have in person that we no longer need to have in person.
Right.
I love the idea that it means we have fewer meetings in general. I am a big believer in fewer meetings. I am losing that battle. I've been losing that battle for years. but I'm not giving up. And there are a lot of people that feel that way. It's just those meetings are so efficient to bring that group of people together. I think we'll identify a lot of the efficiencies that come from working this way, whether it's, you know, a lot of people don't use Slack. We have Slack, but a lot of people aren't on it.
Right.
Maybe there's a, hey, you should be on this because you can catch this while the train's moving. A lot of people like email because there's the record of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Zoom is really like, it's your digital version of an in-person meeting. I think there'll always be a need for both of those things. I actually would argue Zooming is better than conference calls, than just audio conference calls.
Yeah.
And I think that I would implement more Except Zoom.
When they can't see you going like this.
Oh, this is a terrible idea. Why'd they ask for that? Yes, exactly. If you're going to do that, then you suddenly have to mute your image because you're, you know, thinking.
Right.
Unmute when you're done thinking.
There you go. All right. We have time for one more question, and I'm going to leave it with James Pettit, if you're still on the line, James. Every time I see a promo for a reality show, I gasp because I'm doing my best at social distancing, and I see contestants and audiences gather too closely in the spots. Do you think audiences know that one of your shows, I'll leave that, you know, nebulous, right, has been pre-taped before the outbreak? By the way, I love that show. Do you advise a note on promos that shows were pre-recorded? That's actually a really interesting point, right?
Yep. I think most of those are pre-recorded because nothing's in production right now.
Right.
So let's assume the ones we're looking at are for shows that were on the shelf in the can or had just finished shooting. Like on your side mirror, we could put a disclaimer of some sort that says objects in shot are further apart than they appear. Otherwise, I'm not sure how to make those shots reflective of the fact that we are supposed to be doing that and are the responsible ones are doing that when out in public.
Well,
that's a tricky one.
We'll let James figure it out over at Warner Brothers. I have one more. Thank you. I have one more that came in from Sahad. I'm running a performing arts academy in Pakistan, knowing that there is an absolute uncertainty. We might have to let go of a few managerial posts after we open, not during the COVID. What do you think the best way would be to deal with this? The loaded. I'm going to end on a happy question after this, so we'll do.
Yeah, one. Okay. I would say look at as many different solutions as possible. I know a lot of agency owners, which, you know, creative academy, so to speak, are looking at different ways to manage the theatrical downturn in workflow. Mm-hmm. Are they furloughing? Are they taking pay cuts? I've heard of tiered pay cuts based on pay scale for the sake and longevity of the entire company as a whole. I don't know the full details of that particular financial situation, but there might be a way to solve that in the best interest of each individual and the company as a whole, protecting as many people as possible.
So what I'm hearing is be an empathetic human.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Always.
And we'll leave it with this. By the way, this is a great conversation. I've totally enjoyed this. Okay, we'll leave this with what's been the most pleasant surprise about having your whole team working from home?
Ooh, most pleasant surprise of having your whole team work from home. You know, I don't know this to be true, but in my experience, the personnel challenges that I hear about or that find their way to me when someone's got an issue with somebody else seem to have fallen away. It's almost as if in the middle of this pandemic, when we're all suddenly told, go back to your corners and work from there for an indefinite period of time, suddenly those things that were petty and intrusive on our workflow and that bothered us or got in, whatever, those things that frustrated us when we were in the same workspace are no longer worth that kind of energy. And I think that's significant, right? That we shouldn't focus on what pisses us off or frustrates us, but focus on what we can offer to each and every relationship we have instead of they're not doing this or they're not doing that, or I don't like the way they did this.
Right.
All that's gone. And now we're like, how can I be a great partner to my coworkers and my employees?
Yeah. And for our entire generation and the generation above us, this is the first time the entire world has been faced with the same issue.
Right. This is no one on this planet has dealt with this before as a collective. This is a unique global challenge that we have to come together, obviously, to solve it. So
absolutely. Yeah. And So thank you, Scott. I really appreciate it.
Honored to be asked to participate.
I appreciate the half hour. Now get to your open office, your 15th Zoom of the day.
I can't wait. And I'm going to download these at the chat comments and read how bad I did. I can't wait to see my grade.
I'm trying to avoid them while I'm talking to you.
I can't look at them. I'm trying to make eye contact.
So I know, right? So Promax community, thank you for attending. Very much appreciate it. And make sure to watch this Thursday session, Keeping Sane, Focused, and Productive. We're doing two of these a week for the foreseeable future, every Tuesday and Thursday. And if you have any suggestions for a session, email connect@promax.org or reach out to me directly. And stay safe, everyone, and have a great week. Thank you.
Paige Alpiniak is editorial director at Promax. Andres Trujillo, Promax's social media and community manager, edited this podcast. Video Helper provides the music. Digital content producer Kayla Marie Hardaway contributes to Daily Brief. Promax is rebranded to just Promax, so you can find us on Promax Global on Facebook and Promax_Global on Twitter and Instagram. You can also always reach out to us at dailybrief@promax.org, and you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.